You're listening to the Hamilton Today podcast from 900 CHML.
All right. We've certainly heard lots of chatter in regard to a truce or a ceasefire of some sort between Hamas and Israel. Obviously, U.S. Secretary of State Blinken trying very hard to accommodate or push forward the idea. And now it looks like Israel says no peace deal without a total victory. Let's bring in Arl Brown, a professor of international relations, senior member of the Monk School of Global Affairs, University of Toronto, and here now. Arl, thank you for the time. Hope you're well.
Thank you.
What are your thoughts, Arl, on the statement from Netanyahu that total victory over Hamas is the only alternative here?
Well, this is a statement that actually was also made by the major Western powers. So now it's being portrayed as just some kind of extreme statement. But the reality is that there had been a consensus. This is where there was moral clarity that both for the sake of Israel, but also for the people of Gaza, Hamas had to be removed. That meant total victory. Hamas could not have a role in this proposal that came back from Hamas. Was the type that would go counter not just what Israel had expressed, but also what the Western powers had expressed. Because what Hamas basically was demanding was that in exchange for the remaining hostages whom they kidnapped against international law, and after having committed some of the most horrific crimes in modern history, they wanted the Israeli forces to withdraw completely from Gaza. There would be massive aid coming in to rebuild. They would get to stay in power, even though they are largely defeated militarily. And so it is difficult to see how anybody would accept that. And you have Anthony Blinken, who somehow seems to think that, yes, this is kind of bad. And Biden said this is somewhat over the top. But let's see if we can find something, anything. And this just encourages Hamas to believe that they don't need to surrender, they don't need to leave, that they can somehow hope that pressure will increase on Israel, that Israel will be portrayed as the recalcitrant party, and that what they are proposing, basically, that they would restore themselves and that they would be able to commit the same crimes over and over again, would become acceptable.
Obviously, Israel not happy until Hamas is completely out of the picture. They have they're dead against anything that leaves Hamas in control of Gaza. Who is going to then control Gaza if it's not Israel or it's not Hamas?
We have to see what happens at the end of the conflict. And sometimes, you know, when you are in a war, you don't do the detailed planning at the beginning. It wasn't done during the Second World War. What the Allied powers said at that point, that the Axis powers, the Nazis, have committed such horrific crimes together with the Japanese militaries as well as the Italian fascists, that they needed to have unconditional surrender. And after that, they devised administrative bodies, they had a transition period, and they eventually created successful democracy. So the demand now to say, you're in the middle of a war, but give us detailed planning of exactly what's going to happen, and that this burden somehow belongs entirely to Israel, which had been the victim of this horrific attack, and that is facing an enemy that declares very openly that if they were to reconstitute themselves, they would not really not change their ways, but they would continue the same kind of massacres until eradicating the state of Israel. And so in that kind of situation, this attempt at negotianism, this kind of belief that somehow you could have all these details in place of what would occur while Hamas is still hanging on in Rafah, while the hostages are still being held by Hamas, is not particularly realistic. And I think this is one of the things that Hamas is counting on, that by having these kind of demands on the table, they believe that somehow Israel, from internal pressure from the hostage families, and it's very understandable that if you have a loved one who has been kidnapped, is being tortured, and we know what Hamas has done, you would say, give them anything.
Yeah.
But a state has to look at the larger picture and say, well, what is the result? When they traded terrorists, one single hostage, a soldier, Shalit, they gave over 1,000 terrorists over. One of them was Yahya Sinwar, who's the leader of the militant military wing of Hamas. And so we have to ask ourselves, what would we in Canada do if we were in the same kind of position? What would any other state do if they were in that position? But this is what terrorists and this is what dictatorships count on. This is the kind of thing that Vladimir Putin is counting on, that somehow, no matter how repugnant his aggression was against Ukraine, somehow Western countries will tire. They will want to negotiate at our cost, and that eventually he would prevail. And this is, in a sense, what we need to resist. This is why we have to go back to the basic principles and say to ourselves, did we not have a clear consensus? Did we not have moral clarity about what needs to happen? Why would we deviate from that?
Arlo Brown with us, Professor of International Relations, Senior Member of the Monk School of Global Affairs at the University of Toronto. Arlo, as always, thank you for the time. Much appreciated. Be well.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Hamilton Today podcast. You can listen to the show live weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on 900 CHML and online at 900CHML.com.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.